This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For more information, see jodcast.net.
In the news this month, evidence for a ginormous black hole in a comparatively small galaxy, superluminous supernovae at high redshift, and MESSENGER finds evidence of water ice on Mercury. There is convincing evidence that most, if not all, galaxies contain a central supermassive black hole with a mass between hundreds of thousands and billions of times that of the Sun. The best studied of these black holes is also the closest, the one located in our own galaxy, known as Sagittarius A star. The most massive black holes known are predominantly located in giant elliptical galaxies, whilst smaller ones are generally found inside the central bulge of disk galaxies similar to the Milky Way. Much of the observational evidence collected to date suggests that the properties of a galaxy's central black hole correlate with those of its host galaxy's bulge, but the physical reason why this should be is not clear, and many different theoretical models have been proposed to explain the observed results. Now, a team of astronomers have discovered a black hole which is abnormally massive compared to its host galaxy, a discovery which could potentially challenge models of galaxy formation. As massive as they are, these central compact objects make up only a small fraction of the total mass of a galaxy, typically about 0.1%, with the current record holder being NGC 4486b, with 11% of its mass accounted for by a central black hole. But now, publishing in Nature in November, a group led by Remco van den Bosch of the Max Planck Institute for Astronomy in Germany have discovered an unusual compact galaxy where the central black hole makes up more than half of the total mass of the galaxy's central bulge. Black holes, as the name suggests, are not easy to detect directly, but their presence is felt by the surrounding material, and these effects are easier to see. One way the mass of a black hole can be calculated is by measuring the velocity dispersion, the distribution of velocity seen in the surrounding material. Using the Hobby-Eberle telescope in the USA, the team observed nearly 700 nearby galaxies and examined their spectra, looking for the telltale broadening of spectral lines caused by the motion of stars in the vicinity of a black hole. In a similar way to a siren changing in pitch as an ambulance races past, the motion of the stars alters slightly the colour of the light we see. Measuring the broadening of spectral lines gives us an idea of how the velocities of the stars in the bulge deviate from the average. The larger the deviation, the greater the velocity dispersion, and the more massive the black hole must be. Despite the small size of the host galaxy, the spectrum of NGC 1277 shows that its central black hole is one of the most massive yet discovered. The team's results show that it has a mass of roughly 17 billion times that of the Sun. In total, the mass of NGC 1277 is around 120 billion solar masses, making the black hole accountable for an exceptional 14% of the galaxy's total mass. But is this peculiarly centrally dense galaxy an exceptional one-off, or is it the first example of a new population? From their survey, the team found five other small galaxies with similarly large velocity dispersions, indicating that the central 200 parsecs contains more than 10 billion solar masses of material, some 100 times larger than typical galaxies of the same size. It is so far unclear whether these six galaxies with strangely dense central regions are simply outliers in the distribution of black hole galaxy properties, or evidence of a different population which formed in a different way. But the astronomers conclude that the properties of these six galaxies, small, red, containing mainly old stars with no evidence of recent star formation, are similar to those of typical red, passive galaxies seen in the early universe, suggesting that these compact nearby systems may be present-day analogues of high redshift galaxies. Supernovae come in many flavours, and, until recently, they were thought to be just two main mechanisms. Now, a third class of supernova, only discovered a few years ago, is opening a new window on the early universe. Supernovae lacking evidence for hydrogen and helium in their spectra are known as Type 1a supernovae, and are caused by material from a companion star building up on an evolved white dwarf in a binary stellar system. When the white dwarf reaches critical mass, it undergoes a thermonuclear explosion. The second class of stellar explosion is the core collapse supernova, where a massive star, greater than about 8 times the mass of the Sun, fuses increasingly heavier elements in its core. This process results in greater and greater quantities of iron in the star's core, until, eventually, the star collapses under gravity, releasing huge amounts of energy which rips the star apart. Both of these classes of supernova are incredibly bright, and Type 1a supernovae are so luminous that they can be used to probe the universe back to a time when it was less than half its present age. It is studies of this class of explosion which led to the discovery of dark energy and the award of last year's Nobel Prize in Physics. Since light takes time to travel across space, The light we see from distant objects is old and allows us to examine the universe as it was when it was much younger. The longer the light takes to reach us, the older it is, and the further back in time we are looking. Now, an international team of astronomers led by Jeff Cook at Swinburne University of Technology in Australia have discovered two examples of a rare third class of superluminous supernova, explosions which are 10 or more times more luminous than other types of supernova. Because they are so bright, they can be seen at much larger distances than other types of supernova, allowing us to probe even further back in the history of the universe. This class of supernovae are thought to occur in extremely massive stars, those with masses between 100 and 300 times that of our Sun. One possible explanation for this type of event is known as pair instability. Such massive stars, if they are massive enough, could end up with cores big enough and hot enough to create pairs of electrons and positrons. This process can reduce the pressure in the star's core so that it shrinks and heats up, causing a massive thermonuclear explosion which releases large amounts of gamma rays. Although rare, these events are typically 10 times brighter than type 1a thermonuclear supernovae and 100 times as luminous as core collapse supernovae. Using existing data from the Canada-France-Hawaii Telescope, or CFHT, Cook and his team looked at images taken over several years and combined them in a new way to look for distant transient events. They found two transients whose properties are similar to those of superluminous supernovae seen in the nearby universe, but which are much further away. The previous record for detection of a Type 1a supernova was at a redshift of 1.55. These new detections are at redshifts of 2.05 and 3.9, so the explosions happened just 3 and 1.5 billion years after the Big Bang. Theory suggests that massive stars and such extreme explosions were much more common in the early universe than they are today. So, while examples of these pair instability supernovae are still extremely rare and much uncertainty remains over the underlying mechanisms, they could potentially become highly useful probes of the earliest days of star formation. Being the closest planet to the Sun, Mercury's surface is hot enough in places to melt lead, so it would seem an unlikely place to find water ice. But recent data sent back from the MESSENGER probe, Mercury Surface Space Environment Geochemistry and Ranging, shows evidence of abundant water ice and other volatile materials in craters near the planet's poles. The idea that ice may exist near Mercury's poles is not a new one. Unlike the Earth, which is tilted relative to the plane of its orbit around the Sun by 23.5 degrees, the tilt of Mercury's rotational axis is almost zero, so there are places on the planet's surface which never see daylight. In 1991, a radar experiment, carried out using the 305-metre Arecibo telescope in Puerto Rico, detected reflective patches at Mercury's poles, with characteristics expected from patches of water ice. The trouble is, very similar radar signatures could have been generated by other chemicals. Now, several lines of evidence have come together to provide stronger proof that ice is hiding in the shadows. November saw the publication of three papers describing findings from NASA's MESSENGER mission to the planet Mercury. Writing in Science Express, three teams of researchers present different results which, together, substantially strengthen the case for volatile substances on the planet's surface. One team, led by Gregory Newman at NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center, used the Mercury Laser Altimeter to measure the reflectance of the planet's surface in regions of permanent shadow near the North Pole, and found patches of unusually dark and bright deposits at the same locations as the highly radar-reflective spots seen by Arecibo 20 years ago. Comparing these deposits to thermal models of the planet by a team led by David Page of the University of California, calculated from topographic data collected by MESSENGER, show that the bright patches are located in regions where the temperature is cold enough the water ice could exist at the surface, while the dark patches correspond to regions where water ice could exist in a layer just beneath the surface regolith. The third piece of evidence comes from the neutron spectrometer on board MESSENGER, an experiment which is able to map the concentration of hydrogen on the planet's surface. Since water is composed of hydrogen and oxygen atoms, high concentrations of hydrogen suggest the presence of water ice deposits. This team, led by David Lawrence of Johns Hopkins University, used data from MESSENGER's neutron spectrometer to map the flux of neutrons from Mercury's northern polar region, and found large concentrations of hydrogen within the same radar-bright regions. Taken together, these three results show convincing evidence for large water ice deposits, both at and just below the surface of Mercury, in the perpetually cold and dark polar regions. The teams conclude that the most likely source of this water is cometary or asteroid impacts, which occurred perhaps 50 million years ago, which, geologically speaking, is fairly recently. And finally, that was my last ever news. Probably.